That's probably the dumbest thing I've ever seen in
That
my
was so
life.
stupid.
We talked about this before the season, though, about how Ron Rivera is just kind of like inching his way back into, like, they were gonna blow. He was gonna do something just horrible for no reason, and he did it.
He did it. Dude, Saga Politelli's gone, bro. Gone.
He said he was staying, though. I mean, they fired the coach, though, so
Yeah.
that was the report before they fired.
Got you. Well,
Yeah.
dude, I feel like I think Oregon's so inevitable for him.
Sagapulatelli. Well,
Him
no,
going
Dante
back to
Moore is
Oregon would be
staying.
hilarious. What up? I think
Yeah,
Dante Moore would stay.
Dante Moore is definitely going to go back.
I don't
Ooh.
know what quarterbacks are going to enter the draft.
None.
Just Mendoza.
Retzlaff.
Aller.
Ty Simpson can still stay. Oh,
Basically, every quarterback can
yeah.
stay besides Mendoza and
Can Mateer stay?
like Nussmeier. Yeah,
Yeah.
Mateer should
Mateer
stay.
stay. He should stay, dude. He
Yeah, he's horribly inaccurate
I
right
think I
now.
underestimated how good their defense was because their Oklahoma's offense is actually like putrid. They're terrible.
I can't wait. I have a good take on Oklahoma slash prediction.
Right.
I'm excited to share that.
All right, should we do
Yeah,
let's get
let's
it in
dive
there.
in. I mean, we can
All
start the edit with the Arch Cal.
right. Yeah, that's what we're
Yeah,
starting with. All
yeah.
right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 18th edition of the Forward Pass podcast. We've got me and Sam in Sam's basement, recording the pod live together. We've got Caleb Archer in Macon, Georgia. We've got Luke Duska in Ocean City, New Jersey. Are you in Buford, Arch?
I am.
He's in Buford, Georgia. Sorry. In the Mercer hoodie, my bad. So
Respect.
yeah. Oh wow. Wait, go set
Did they
show the
make
logo.
the
Show the
playoffs?
logo. That's like
Yeah,
the
they're a
beginning.
seven seed.
Oh, they got a
It's our
bye?
Sailor
Nice.
Bear. It's our school of law. Respect.
Wow. That's kind of sick.
That's
That's
a
kind of
yeah.
sweet.
That's a great
Yeah,
purchase.
yeah. Might have to buy a
My
Mercer
my
Herschel
Sports
wall.
Entertainment Law Society is gonna be selling them. I can put some shameless plugs into the pod if
Can
anybody
you
wants
send
one.
the
Dude,
link to you
sure.
might have to cop me one of those and I'll
Yeah, I got
Venmo
y'all.
you. Yeah.
Dude, I would definitely rock the School of Law crew neck.
Yeah, it's too easy.
All right, dude. We'll start with like we'll do one like game recap. And that was Pitt beating Georgia Tech. Big win for the Panthers. How many of you guys got eyes on this game and saw the almost colossal fold Pitt landed?
I watched this entire second half, and if I didn't look at the score, I would have thought Pitt was losing by 1,000 because they looked like the second half was literally not close, except for the pick six that Haynes
Yeah,
came
that was a
through.
huge dude. Lovelace made a huge. Well, dude, speaking of Pitt, like Pitt's three linebackers might be the best like trio in the country, honestly. Like, no doubt they're so good. Biles, the nickel, or like that, whatever that star they call it, and then Kyle Lewis, and then Lovelace, who made like the what's it called, the pick six, and then we got Baines Martinez, the noob. He's making play after play, number 23. So, our defense looks great, but yeah, Arch. Yeah, we almost gave that game right away. But when you go up 28-0, it's really hard to lose football games. So, Well, until South Carolina.
Yeah. Too soon.
This had South Carolina A&M written all over it, especially in the second half. But like kind of like what we were talking about in the Pitt Notre Dame game, like how everything possibly went wrong for Pitt. I felt like everything that could have possibly went right for Pitt in the first half of that first quarter of that game went right for Pitt. And then also the fake punt by Narduzzi in the fourth quarter. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah.
Oh, to Biles?
Yeah,
That when
definitely
he went out,
questionable.
that was
Yeah.
a horrible play
I
call.
texted y'all.
The
I don't
look wasn't there
understand what
either.
I don't understand. Like, I think he might have gotten it if he doesn't slip. Like, maybe. I just don't understand what the punt. You gave him a shorter field, and the offense is already like churn. Like, I don't. If you're gonna fake punt, you might as well just go for it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't understand that at all. And Georgia Tech was like obviously ready. Like, they were like they had like the full punt. I don't get that at all.
Yeah, no,
Didn't make much sense.
that wasn't a great call. But Haynes King in the second half, dude, Haynes King's so good. That we'll get into the Georgia Tech game, but like Georgia Tech's just gonna need the Haynes King miracle game in Atlanta. You're not seeing that?
Yeah, I mean, I can hop in with Georgia Tech analysis here. It's very cogent. Georgia Tech is averaging 215 rushing yards a game this year, good for 5.75 yards a carry. Pitt held them to 121 rushing yards on 3.7 yards a carry. So I mean, the it's the Georgia Tech, the su supporting cast around Haynes King. That's, I mean, that's sort of the reason that they've been struggling the last few weeks, and this one feels a little inevitable.
Yeah.
Arch has been talking about it a lot too. He, how Georgia Tech's been on fraud watch for most of the year, and when they can't run the ball and successfully achieve the one thing they're good at, then that's where you see a game like this where they were just kind of getting dominated physically. Like Pitt was pretty impressive, like tackling on the perimeter up front against a Georgia Tech team that's been able to run the ball pretty well against every team they played. So
Yeah.
I think it was really impressive by Pitt. And then Mason Heinschel's kind of just electric and gives them a lot on offense.
Yeah, I got two things. One, you talk about the Eric Singleton Jr., Georgia Tech's receiver who went to Auburn and the portal this year. You talk about just a no win, like, oh, lose, lose. Like, Eric Singleton Jr. goes to a wor like a worse team and gets way, and he's in that wide receiver three. And then Georgia Tech, like, sorely misses some explosiveness out of the receiver room. So, just a bad decision there. And then the only thing about Pitt is, we'll get into this in the Pitt Miami preview, but dude, Mason Heinschel's been sacked like 29 times this year, and the only Pitt offensive lineman that like kind of pops to me is number 70 Ryan Breer, and he had that one run where like dude, he actually takes the edge and slams him from the C gap to the A gap, and that was really sick, and that's how we won the game. That was the dagger, but yeah, we struggle pr protecting, but we do run the rock.
I think back to that. I just wanted to, because I highlighted that too. The like the dagger run by who? What's the running back's name?
Oh, dude, his name is Turner. It's wait, let me get his actual name because it's a
True
fabulous.
freshman as well.
It's a fabulous name. It's Jakerian Turner.
Yeah. So he that was a just a tight zone crease. Like they just ran it right up the middle of the defense. And you talk about Ryan Bear, the right tackle, or I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but it's spelled Baer. So
Oh, is it not Breer?
I don't know. I could be wrong,
I
but
that's what I
whatever.
read.
Either way, number 70, it's a, they're at midfield. And there's a Sam blitz coming from the field. So great job recognizing the, how the end was aligned and his demeanor and his stance and recognizing that he was going to try and cross his face. And that's, we call that like ripping the sink off the wall of the defender. So when the, when you know that an end is going to reduce across your face because there's pressure coming from the gap he's in. So there's pressure coming to the C gap from the Sam, from the field, you know that the end's going to cross his face. You basically just move, use his momentum against him, call it like ripping the sink off the wall. So you like take two steps and then just grab him and like take all his momentum inside. And you saw that. Well, you saw like an exaggerated version of that when Bear pulled that off. So that was pretty cool to see and definitely stood out. And
And
I mean, that was the dagger run of the game too. It popped for
dude,
50
Turner,
yards.
he runs the rock, dude.
21 carries, 200 yards.
He runs the rock. And dude,
He's like low key better than, if not better than Des
he's a
Reed,
better
better in
pure
between the
runner. Yeah,
tackles.
definitely a better pure runner than
Like in a
Turner.
game like this against GT, where you had to, where you were up big and kind of had to chew clock and just control the ground game, like he was better for the game script, in my opinion, the after the first quarter than Des Reed would have been. Also, like Des Reed didn't do all that much against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to see how the run offense is able to handle Miami's front.
I think also good bounce back for the Deuce Crews
This is the
after.
most Narduzzi. We talked about this at the beginning of the year. Anytime like he gets bad media coverage for like what he said or like how Pitt shows up, and then next week they're oh back to New York, Narduzzi does well. So
Nothing
this
like the Deuce Crews
it's like
with
after
Jason.
Charlie Mill seriously considered hopping off the Deuce Crews and then Pitt responded by going 6-1 in the ACC.
Exactly. Dude,
Yeah.
yeah, whenever water is leaking onto the boat, like they find a way to get it out.
They
Like
clean the poop deck.
yeah, literally. Like they all hands on deck, people man the ship. So, Arch, you got anything else on this game or should we move on?
No, I was just gonna say, I think, well, with the, like hindsight, I would like to have seen how this game goes if Georgia Tech scores on that goal line series, and how Pitt responds instead of that pick, because the pick six, it was like it was over at that point. Like Georgia Tech could have made it a little more competitive, but I think if they scored, it would have been tied. Or
It
Yeah,
would have made it a
Georgia
one
hit
score game,
21.
right?
Yeah, and th
Yeah.
it
I
would have
think it was
gotten really
28-21
un
at that point. No,
yeah,
the
or
pick.
something, but it
I thought it was 28-14, and then
I think
we're
no,
at,
I think
then
we
it
should
should
go
go down
35-14.
one.
Yeah.
They got it to 35-28 at the
Okay.
end. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have liked to see how that, because I think that would have been a very uncomfortable fourth quarter for Pitt, like in a loud Tech environment like that, finally having some life. But I mean, that throw was pretty unfortunate. Like, I don't think it ever had a chance to do anything good, but he was also pressured, so.
Yeah, I kind of did like a little like a kind of a an analysis on that play. Like they were just running 5-man protection. We call it three scat. So like the back isn't in protection. Like he's to the left, like three odd number. He's to the left out in the flat, and then also the tight end was part of the pass concept. They were running cook, which is corner hook, with the tight end and the receiver, and like they were just 5 for 5. And there were seven guys on the line of scrimmage, and they set the protection the wrong way. And like, I mean, you think like, all right, we're gonna set the protection here, and they could, those guys don't come. And so another instance of, technically it wasn't a sim pressure because it was five guys, but just they couldn't get 5 for 5 on that Georgia Tech. And then off the edge, I think it was Baines Marquez was just unblocked off the edge, and he rushed that, and he rushed Haynes King. So that was actually wizard defense from the dudes. I don't know who's Pitt's defensive coordinator. I know Narduzzi runs like the defense, but that's a great call by
There was
him.
also a third down early on. They just ran like a simple TE stunt. I think his name's Kyle Lewis. He got a sack off
Oh,
that too. So,
when he rammed into the tackle and then made
yeah.
the sack, yeah, that was sick.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're just moving the D line around,
Yeah,
wreaking
his name is
havoc on the
Randy
Georgia
Bates.
Tech line.
Randy Bates. Okay, here we go, Randy.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was also okay. Hypothetical, guys, before we move on. So, like, okay, so Georgia Tech and Pitt, like, they're both like upper echelon ACC teams. Like, I think Georgia Tech's 9-1
Nine
or
and two
nine and
now.
two, and Pitt's 8-3. Like, what are both of these teams' records if you put them in like any of the other three conferences? Specifically the Big Ten and big SEC, like what are their records?
I think whatever Mississippi State's record is worse than that.
Yeah, five and I think they'd be 5-7, like South Carolina is, or Mississippi
Yeah.
State. Those like that, like South Carolina, Mississippi State, Kentucky,
Kentucky,
like
yeah.
in that realm of.
Do either of these teams beat South Carolina? I think no.
Dude, what would be the spread on that game? Like probably a
It would
touchdown.
be SC
If
and
it's in
Georgia
favor,
Tech?
if it's we're favored against Clemson, it'd be favored against
Yeah.
Ole Miss. If it's at Columbia, it's got to be like a 6.5 point
Six and a
spread.
half at minimum.
Yeah.
And then do they, let's play, let's do the same hypothetical. Do either of them beat Mississippi State?
At Starkville, hell no. In
I would
Pitt,
say
maybe.
yes. Mississippi State's defense is like Tech and
So
Pitt would.
are their defenses, They're
though.
only
Yeah,
what
or their
like
Tech
Tech is
defense
only
would put up
plus
like
six
50.
against Ole Miss. I mean, Mississippi State is still, you're seeing like their defense just get worked by SEC offenses though. Like if you put Mississippi
Yeah.
State defense in the ACC, like what are we seeing from
You're
them?
also seeing them put up damn near 40 points against Texas.
Dude, they
Like,
would cook Georgia
yeah.
Tech's defense.
Do we think Georgia Tech or Pitt are putting up 40 points?
No, but I do. No, but also I the one the credit I'll give Pitt is I do think they have like a real defense. Like they
Yeah.
tackle really well and like they play real defense. And then the one thing about Georgia Tech, like the one SEC part of their program is like they have Haynes King, who's a really good quarterback.
And then the
Yeah,
last
Tech's
one's
defense is
Kentucky.
phenomenal.
Like, how about either of these two teams versus Kentucky? At least tight spread if they are favored.
Yeah. I mean,
I.
Kentucky is just plagued by that quarterback being horrible.
Yeah.
What's his name, Arch?
Cutter Bowley.
Yeah.
He isn't as bad as Calzada was, but like
Okay, tell me
Calzada
about the
was,
money that he's flexing on.
yeah. Hey,
What?
Garrett. It's a great video.
Okay, so we're done with this game, but
Great
if
win,
we,
Pitt. Let's get the job done this week.
yeah, that'd be awesome. Okay, we can do one of these two games or none. I did some BYU Cincy and then Utah Kansas State stuff. Do we want to hit any of that?
I have no interest in talking BYU Cincy. That game stunk.
It did
I
stink.
just want to say
LJ
I had
Martin.
Kansas State was my super dog, and it's just unbelievable that they didn't win that game, but Dude,
I mean,
how about Utah Bird Ficklin, that quarterback, that just the freshman who comes in like the red zone package? He might have something. It's a shame Whittingham's gone because I wonder how much of their roster they retain. But like the future of if they can retain Bird Ficklin, the future in Utah could look bright. Does Dampier have another year too? They
he
might just
could.
Ficklin next year.
Yeah, he could. He's only Dan Pierre's only 21 years old.
He probably does then.
Yeah,
Oh,
he'll have another year at least.
but that I think this is the most entertaining football game of the week because Utah got okay. Wait, who for those who are haven't been on the dock, who is like looking at the dock right now?
I just opened it since you said that.
Okay, don't look at the stat. What do you think? How much rushing yards do you think Utah gave up?
Oh,
Yeah,
it was like 470, right?
350. 350 yards?
No, it was like
Yeah.
470 something.
Dude, 472 rush yards.
Yeah, I mean,
472? Like, dude, that's why Utah's unserious as like a
so
playoff
we
team.
should immediately eliminate them from playoff contention
Dude,
then.
like, why are they so high on this list? Like, why is Utah
They
at
should not
12?
be anymore.
Why are they
Yeah.
at 12? How are,
There's too
in what
many.
world are they more qualified than Vanderbilt? In what world? No.
There's too many people. There's too many teams that can get into the playoff this year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, are they really more qualified than Vanderbilt? I don't want Vandy to make it either, but I'm just saying, like,
There's going to be a lot of teams up in arms when they don't make it.
Sam
But
disagrees.
Utah should not be one of them.
Yeah, Utah should definitely
Yeah.
not be in this thing.
But I've seen enough now.
Yeah, definitely.
They've also lost to the two Big 12 teams directly in front of them.
Yep.
So there's no reason they should ever be considered in the top 12.
But they're right here. Like they're
I
at
think they'll
12.
fall this week. Like they have to fall below Miami and Vandy.
You would hope, but this is also an irrational committee.
And like Texas.
Right?
Yeah.
Is 9-3 Texas is a little 8-3 Texas is okay. Actually, I don't know if I can make the Texas argument.
I can.
9-3 Texas with a win over A&M,
Oh, I'm saying if
Oklahoma.
they
Lost to
no,
Ohio
I'm saying
State.
if they win, I'm saying if they win for sure, but at this very moment, can you make
Oh.
the argument that Texas
No,
should
no,
be over
no. The
Utah?
no, but I think they have a strong argument if they win this week.
Do you
Oh,
think
they should.
do you think
Yeah.
BYU, if they get spanked again, is it still in?
No. They
No.
lose the Big 12. I think the Big 12 champ should make it and nobody else should.
Agreed.
Or I guess Texas Tech, if they lose to BYU, should make it, but
Oh, RSI back.
they should be like the 11 seed if they do.
Dude, I wanted to give the one thing about the BYU game that game did stink and LJ Martin at 222 yards. But Kalani Sitake took the program over in 2015. In four of the last six seasons now, they've had double digit wins. So they're one of the better programs in the Big 12. Just wanted to shout them out. But they should not be in the playoff unless they beat Texas Tech.
Yeah, underrated squad.
But then does Texas Tech also make it?
I mean, that's where the debate
Yeah.
is.
Yeah.
If what happens if
If
Texas Tech
Texas Tech
loses,
loses to BYU in the Big 12 championship, do they make it?
they'll make it.
Yeah, they're gonna make it. If like Texas wins and Texas Tech makes it over them after losing the Big 12 championship, like I would rather have Texas in that tournament than
Texas
Texas
Tech.
Tech. Yeah. If they lose to
What about a
BYU,
10 and 2? But
I
dude,
don't
what about
think
10 and 2
BYU,
Vandy? Texas
compared to
Tech's
these teams,
ahead.
I don't think BYU's that good.
I
So if
agree.
Texas Tech loses to them, like they probably shouldn't be in the playoffs after losing to Arizona State and
There's some state.
BYU.
Yeah,
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, I'm with that.
I don't know.
Vandy's kind of screwed here.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, they did not help themselves at all.
Lose-lose scenarios for the
Yeah,
committee
who?
all over the place.
The committee.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just. I don't know. This would be like the perfect year to do 10 teams. I feel like 11 through 12, 11 and 12, you could have like 10 teams make an argument. And I don't trust the senile men of the committee to choose the best two.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on. Let's move on completely and let's go to previews for this week because this week
I want to give my Oklahoma take.
give it.
All
I'm
right.
with it.
All right. So good win over Missouri. Defense, well, absolute sicko slugfest defensively. Like there was no offense to be heard of in this game. And here's how I feel about Oklahoma at this point in the season. So you can't deny their defense is unbelievable. and they could stop damn near any team. But I don't think they're a serious contender because of their offense, but they're very frisky because their defense can basically stop any team, like I was saying, but they have extremely explosive players on offense, including Mateer, obviously. They can use him in the run game. And then,
Isaiah Satania.
yeah, and then Isaiah Satania is the one, even just like PBR, like he could take over a game, like you saw against Alabama. So with Mateer and with him probably getting healthier as they transition into the playoffs, I think that makes the offense a little friskier, but against some of the higher quality teams, there's a chance their offense just gets completely shut down. Like they haven't been able to run the ball here. That's going to be a consistent theme based off the level of competition they're about to experience if they do make the playoffs. But I do think because of how good their defense is and because of the explosive ability, I think they're going to. I mean, this isn't like a crazy hot take. I'm not predicting them to win the national championship, but I think that they're going to win their first two games and knock off one of the top four seeds just because I think they're just going to shut one of the teams down defensively. Like in that quarterfinal round against one of the teams that got a bye, I think they're just going to shut them down on defense and then just find a way to make enough plays to win a game. And then I think they'll probably get like blown out in a semifinal situation. But I'm predicting Oklahoma to win their first two games in the playoff and then in that case, knock off a top four seed.
Which would be an ultimate success for Brent Venables, and that would be huge for the Oklahoma football program. I actually heard Colin Cowherd say something the other day, and I thought it was good. He said that that a actually, when like you look at Texas and Oklahoma is the team that profiles like an SEC team, and they actually have like a real SEC identity as opposed to like what is Texas? Like they're like half Big 12, half SEC with like SEC caliber players, but the identity of like a Big 12 team, where you like don't know what you're getting week to week out of the squad, and like they do have to score a lot of points like to win games. Like as opposed to like Oklahoma, like the offense is far less explosive, especially with Mateer out, but you actually have like maybe the best defense in the SEC, which is really cool. And that's just funny how it kind of flipped, because when Lincoln Riley was at Oklahoma, you would think, okay, Oklahoma is like the quintessential Big 12 team, like literally just outscore teams, get in 100-yard dash sprints. But and then Texas was more of like the athlete, bigger SEC profile team, and it's definitely flipped on its head on which those teams both entered the SEC, and Oklahoma's has more of an SEC identity, and I just think that's kind of crazy a little bit.
Well, you're going to take on the identity of your coach. And I mean, Venables is a kind of a psycho. So, like, you can kind of see that
Dude, he's
in the
getting
way
more
Oklahoma
jacked.
plays on
He's
defense.
jacked.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
And,
the
like,
guy's
you're
been in the
going to,
weight room.
I mean, give me that culture over Sark's a good coach, but, like, that, like, when you have an edge, like Venables gives your team, like, I'll take that all day. And then you just got to find a way on offense. And you should also flush the result of the Red River game. Because that was like Mateer's first game back. Like, I don't think there was a lot expected of them offensively in that game. So,
My only like down, like I agree about Oklahoma's defense, but like they still haven't like shut, like necessarily taken over, I guess, Bama. But like even against Tennessee and Ole Miss, like Tennessee and Ole Miss both scored a lot on them. That'd be my only fear, is like, is their defense able to scale up to A&M or Georgia? I'm just thinking who they would play in the next round. Like, yeah, it's probably gonna be A&M, Georgia, Indiana. Like, is their defense gonna be able to show up in that game versus like how they're able to show up against Mizzou and South Carolina and these like a lot less high octane Auburn type offenses? So that would be my only down on them. But I agree with you. Like, Arch, if you're Georgia, would you rather play Ole Miss or Oklahoma?
I'd probably say Oklahoma.
In like Phoenix.
I don't know. I think Oklahoma simply because that I like don't think their offense. But I think I would honestly say, I think I'd say Ole Miss. I'm gonna change my answer and say Ole Miss. Because you know Oklahoma's defense is going to show up. Ole Miss's offense, I think you'd have an easier time shutting down than you would having like high success against an Oklahoma defense. And also when you play Oklahoma, like the margins get so much smaller when you're playing like a really good defense. Like one turnover can like ruin you if you play like a worse defense
And
or a
Georgia's
better
also,
defense.
Georgia would also just have their way with the Ole Miss defense again.
Yeah,
I
we'd
think
probably
that,
put up 50 this time.
And also I think I want to also add a addendum to this take. If it ends up being Georgia that Oklahoma plays, completely null. And I don't think I think Georgia profiles too strongly, like in opposition to Oklahoma. Like I think they have too many guys that would kind of prevent everything from what I was just saying from
They're
happening,
too,
but
Georgia's too balanced. Like, if you look at the most impressive wins for Oklahoma's defense, it was Michigan who at that point could not throw the ball, and then Alabama who cannot run the ball. And so, whenever you're one-dimensional, it's going to be really hard to beat Oklahoma on, especially their defense. But I think a balanced offense, like even Ole Miss is a couple bad turnovers in their territory, in Oklahoma territory, away from like kind of and winning that football game, and then Georgia, like they're just far too balanced. Like I could see I in that game you're gonna have to probably get to 28 points, and like I don't know if Oklahoma's offense like is even capable of that.
I think they could. I mean, they could get into a knockdown drag out with like A&M,
Yes, yeah,
Indiana.
yes,
Like
yes. I think
those
they could
top
beat
four
it. I
seeds
think
are
I would
good.
pick them to beat Indiana.
That's what I'm
Really?
saying. Yeah,
Yeah.
and
Indiana
I think
struggled
that.
running the ball against Penn State, which is concerning.
I just can't get the picture of them against Penn State out of my head. Like Penn State, like imposing their will in that second half. Like, and
And I
if Penn
know
State can do that,
Indiana
like.
hasn't looked like the
I
last
know
few
there's a
years.
head-to-head victory, but I think Oregon's better than Indiana as well, just based off the recent trends. Like I'm not saying they should be ranked ahead of them or anything like that. Like they did lose a head-to-head at home, but I think if they played again neutral field, I just like Oregon in that matchup based off what they've
Dude,
done the last few weeks.
you know why you like Oregon in that matchup?
Why?
I know exactly why you like Oregon in that matchup. Their last game, couple games running the football, 179 last week, 179 the week before, 261 against Iowa. Like Oregon's found their identity, which what's Indiana's identity right now?
And the other thing with Oregon is like they're
Yeah, their
banged up
1-2
still.
punch.
Like it's a shorthanded offense. Like they had O-line injuries this week. They've been missing receivers all season, and like they're still consistently producing the damn near 200 rushing yard performance. And it's so balanced because what USC would at some point, Oregon just pounded so many gap schemes down their throat that USC tried to stack the box and play the run. And then that's when you just pull it, get the ball on the perimeter. Pull it, get the ball
Sadiq. That's when
vertical to Kenyon
the
Sadiq.
tight end's just running out the seam. The
Like they're
seam.
finding it on offense right now. And like that's based off last year's trend where Ohio State, you saw the offense really find their groove and like they could score against anyone at once they got to the point they did in the playoff. I think or for me, Oregon's similar trajectory with the way they've been finding it. And I mean, it kind of started after that Indiana game.
Yeah. All right, do you guys want to do some previews here?
Let's do it.
All right. So, dude, the week 14 slate, the week 13 slate, not the best, not the best. The week 14 slate is so juicy. So, on Thursday, Thanksgiving, it's not even an appetizer, it's like an edamame. You get some with some good salt, some
It's
navy.
like wings. It's a great app.
Yeah. No. Well, it's not full appetizer because Friday's the full app.
Friday's not an app. It's like the first course.
Oh, okay. So it's
Yeah,
the first thing out the weekend. It's a course
Friday
day.
is a course,
Okay,
yeah.
so the appetizer, so the 12 wings, lemon pepper, Navy at Memphis. I'm huge. I'm excited for that one. Okay, so that's the appetizer. Then on Friday, we've got Iowa, Nebraska, if that tickles your fancy, but I will not be tuned in. I'll be tuned into the Egg Bowl, Ole Miss at Mississippi State. Then you've got Georgia playing Georgia Tech at a neutral field because the devil is powerful, and we took that game out of a college campus, which is just too sad. Right. But and then you have Texas A&M at Texas that night on Friday. So that's like your first course. Look that up. Okay, so then you have Saturday, and Saturday. Oh my goodness. Ohio State at Michigan, Miami at Pitt. There's two like good rivalries, Kentucky at Louisville, and then Clemson, South Carolina. And then the nightcap is Vandy, Tennessee, and Bama, Auburn. Fellas, like get excited for some college football this week. NFL, well, I don't know what you've got this week, but I am not tuned in to what maybe I'll tune into the Bills Steeler game, but other than that,
You're not
cannot
going to
wait.
watch Eagles Bears on Black Friday?
I will a little.
It's a tough sell for the Eagles right now.
Yeah, honestly, the Eagles, they hate playing on
The Thanksgiving slate's actually pretty good finally in the NFL. I will give them that.
The
Finally,
Chiefs,
it's
the
like a
Chiefs. What, who's the Chiefs playing?
it's Chiefs, Cowboys, Bengals, Ravens, which is big for us, and then Lions, Packers. It's like a pretty good slate actually.
Give
Usually
me.
there's like some stinkers on
Well,
Thanksgiving.
and at my
And
household,
Joe Burrow might play too, which is cool.
At
For
my household, Navy
NFL
Blue's still
offense,
be on, so that's a moot point. Okay, which one
I'm gonna
is
house Houseful Angels. There's gonna be
who?
NFL football on the
Oh,
TV, unfortunately. Sorry,
household
guys.
issue. That's
Yeah,
okay.
you
That's
should have
okay.
heard some of the Eagles takes. I've been got fired off on Sunday.
Oh, dude, probably
It's
so casual.
like dodging bullets in here.
Dude, I need to buy somebody that like if I had money, I would buy so many Merry Christmas, you filthy casual Josh Pate store things if I had money and just hand them out to like my friends and family. Like dude, my Luke Bowser dude, like you're getting a Merry Christmas filthy, you filthy casual for your Penn
There's
State.
a lot of guys and gals on this planet and in the United States of America in particular that think they could be high level play callers in the NFL and high level college football, and
Yes, that's
it's
not the
pretty
case.
funny. Yeah, it's
Yeah,
certainly not the
you
case.
don't know ball.
Yeah.
It is kind of fun coming back home and watching football with like your adult parents and family members who just have the most like, I mean, we should have taken the points there. Dad, it was 4th and 1 at the 30. Like, we're gonna go for it. Most
We're
like,
down 14 and it's
yeah,
fourth and
take the
one
points
at the 30 in the fourth quarter.
on the road.
They want you to take the points to make it a two score game still.
Yeah. All right.
I might try to do a tally of how many times like you should take the points here for the rest of the week.
On fourth and one, when
Take
the
a
Packers go for it this week.
play calling tally, like how many play call recommendations there's going to
Yes.
be
Run it
in
left.
whatever
Throw the ball
household
middle of
you're
the
in.
field.
Should have ran toss on that play.
What are you
Run it.
calling? I don't
Run
know. What
it.
are they calling?
Yeah.
Can you break it down? Draw up a
Oh, dude. Oh,
defense for them to play.
guys. Hilarious. Did I tell you guys this story? So my aunt Nancy and my grandpa were like upset at like Penn State, and one of their complaints, my aunt Nancy was like, she was like, Drew Aller, every time he reads the play off his wristband every time. Like, don't you know the offense? And I was like, Aunt Nancy and Papa Don, listen to me really clearly. So actually, there's 160 little plays on that thing, and that's how the offense operates. So they signal into Drew Aller, hey, call play 151, and then he reads off play 151. Like he doesn't not know the play. That's actually integral to like the offense succeeding, and he wears it every practice. And like this is how the things run. So he's not just like wearing. Why is he wearing a wristband? Like doesn't he know the offense? Like this guy
It's a
doesn't know.
magic wristband that tells you what you're supposed to do on every
Yeah,
play.
like where the ball is supposed to go. Like dude. So, but I did. I was like, listen, guys. So actually, never say that again because you sound so dumb. So, but
Speaking of
I
Penn State, really quick, did y'all see Terry Smith rocking the Joe Pa button
Sure,
down
nine Joe.
jacket?
Yeah.
Just like,
This
and then he was like, if somebody asked him, and he was like, I owe it
is
all to
my
that
mentor.
guy.
I owe it to
Yeah, someone, I'm like, that's just not. And somebody was shaming James Franklin for not incorporating him into the program more. I was like, I think that's probably the best thing he did in
was
his
probably a little too soon for
career.
Franklin. It was probably a little too soon to incorporate Joe Pa back in.
Like literally 2 years after it,
Yeah.
they were mad that he didn't embrace the Joe Pa legacy.
Are you sure you want to embrace Joe Pa? What does embracing Joe Pa entail?
Probably a little bit too intimate of an embrace.
Okay. Which game do we want to start with? Do we want to go Ohio State, Michigan?
The game.
Yeah. Let's preview the game. All right. We've got Ohio State, Michigan. This game is being played at the Big House. I think it's the noon kickoff, and the line was at Ohio State minus 10.5. It is now down to Ohio State minus 9.5. So we've got some movement there. To me, The Ohio State team is just a ridiculous profile. They're giving up 7.6 points a game. That is completely ridiculous. So, if Michigan pulls this off, like they are going to be a playoff team, but they are going to need two things. One, timely third down conversions from Bryce Underwood of like third and six and seven and third and tens where like they complete balls. And thank goodness they have Andrew Marsh now because that's a real weapon at receiver. And Duska, we've talked about him coming on after like week four and kind of developing, and that's been a huge get for them. And then, dude, Justice Haynes, we're gonna have to run the rock and we're gonna have to turn this into a little bit of a rock fight. And I highlighted four defensive backs for Michigan if you're watching the game. You've got cornerback Jahir Hill, number 20, cornerback Zeke Berry, number 10, cornerback Elijah Dotson, number 22, who's a true freshman from Belleville, which is the same high school Bryce Underwood went to. So him and Bryce, same high school, both went to Michigan, pretty cool. And then the nickel, who's really good, TJ Metcalf, number 7. These are the guys that are going to be playing man-to-man coverage for the Michigan Wolverines in the Big House on Saturday. And these guys have to hold up because Jeremiah Smith has 900 yards receiving, and Carnell Tate has 711, and he's averaging 18 yards a catch. So he's just a deep ball threat. And then you have Max Clair as well, pass catcher. Cal Arch?
Purdue.
Purdue, that's where it was. And yeah, and then Bo Jackson came back from retirement, and Bo Jackson, who's their running back number 25, he leads them with 835 rush yards. So, dude, Michigan's gonna have to play some man-to-man coverage, and we will see how they hold up. We'll see how Bryce Underwood looks in his first the game.
Yeah, I've been the Michigan water bearer all year, but I came off that playoff prediction in our when we re-racked and brought out our new 12-team field. The reason is because I just don't think the offense has evolved as much as I thought it would over the course of the season. And they played better. Bryce Underwood's definitely been better overall, but if you look at the quarterback matchup in this game, Julian Sain has evolved as the season's gone on. And the talk coming out of the Texas game was that Ryan Day and Brian Hartline, the Ohio State staff, they kind of left the kid gloves on for him in that game and didn't ask him to do too much, but he made timely plays and timely throws. And you've seen as the season's gone on, Ohio State hasn't really been tested by anyone, but the offense has been unbelievable, and Sain's progression is noticeable. And I think with Underwood, it's a little different. There hasn't been as much of a rhythm to offense. The defense, they've relied on the defense a lot in close games, and they just don't I can't see a path where they find a way to score enough points to win this game compared to Ohio State. And it is this game's weird. It's a rivalry. Ohio
You don't
State
see
was
any path? No path?
there's okay yeah there's a path, but it's like turnover laden. It's Ohio State drops, Ohio State MAs, like it's a lot of stuff that you wouldn't expect out of this team, I feel like.
Okay, I got something. What if we just get to, what if Michigan just like executes a little bit better? This is the same thing last year where it was like they had
I
Davis
know.
Warren playing quarterback and like they just ran the rock. They're
And
way more multiple this year.
it feels risky to say, I mean, for to say all this, but I just think there's too much emphasis on Ohio State not losing this game this year. Like, I feel like that wasn't as much of a thing until they lost last year. And like, obviously it's dangerous making this prediction with what's happened the last five games, but I mean,
Do you root for anybody in this game? Like, do you have a rooting interest? Because I always root for
yeah,
Michigan.
I want Michigan to win.
Yeah, so I'll
I
be rooting for
do.
Michigan.
I hope they win. And I'm gonna take all the credit and none of the I took them out of my second playoff bracket in when
And
we redid
I
it.
told the
Yeah.
public there was no
And
path.
I'm gonna take all the credit for predicting them to make the playoff if they win this game, but I just can't see a way how. And I maybe you guys have a different opinion, but I just feels like Ohio State's gonna like they're just I don't know. It just feels like a
Inevitable.
game Ohio State's going to take over. Yeah.
I think the way that this would go for Michigan is this is going to be Ohio State's first test in a while, like of the blue chip ratio, like actual talent. So my only thing would be if it takes them a while to get used to playing that speed of football again, And like kind of like what happened last year almost with like Michigan just like staying around until Ohio State made their own mistakes, like when Will Howard tossed that horrific interception. I think that's the only way, because I just think Ohio State's better on defense than they were last year. So you're really gonna have, you cannot, like, you're gonna have to take care of the football. Michigan, obviously, and they're gonna have to run the ball. Yeah, I think the only way you really have a chance is Ohio State's kind of shocked by the or it takes them a while to adjust back to the like the powerful or like the talent that other schools
Arch,
are gonna have.
you know, you're describing a phenomenon that football coaches always use, and that is fast start. Michigan, if they want to have a chance at this game, they have to have a fast start. If they go down 14 to nothing, like, Ohio State's going to have supreme confidence, and that's going to be a tough game to win. But if they come out first drive, maybe they get the football, or they either get a score or a stop, even if it's three, on their first drive, like, just coming out and saying, like, we're here, because dude, they're at the big house. There's 100,000 people there. Like, you want those people to be in the game, and you want them to have an effect on Ohio State. So, you can't do that unless you start fast.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I feel like the way that Michigan has to win this game is kind of similar to last year, where you kind of need almost everything, all the swing plays in your game in the game to go your way. Like, I'm pretty sure Ohio State missed like a 35-yard field goal last year, and that's tend to happen in some of these games. But I think another thing too is just give Michigan needs to find a way to give themselves a chance in the middle of the third quarter. And Pate always talks about this. You guys talk about this too. That like middle portion of the game, the first 6 minutes of the third quarter and the last 6 minutes of the second quarter, like that's where like
The middle eight.
you're gonna play with so much momentum and just feed off the crowd in that first quarter. It's probably gonna be, you're gonna feel each other out, it's probably gonna be close. But that once the game settles in there at the end of the second quarter, that's gonna be a huge turning point for Michigan. And if they're able to control that, then I do think they'll be able to give themselves a chance coming into the fourth quarter. Another thing too, like we talked about this with Underwood at the Oklahoma game about how he's really not gonna be tested all that much between that game and the Ohio State game. And now here we are. I thought that he did a lot of really good things a couple weeks ago against Northwestern outside of the turnovers. I feel like we've seen him progress throughout the year as a passer through their run game evolving as the season goes on. So this is going to be his first, another like first real big test since then
And he got a real
for
receiver.
him on the other, like, yes, it's Ohio State's first test, but this is also Underwood's, a huge test for him. And is Justice Haynes playing or no?
He's
No,
questionable,
he's
Arch.
out all year.
I don't think it matters if he plays or not. That other kid's really
He's
good
out
too.
all year.
I thought. I thought when
He's
he
it's
broke his foot, he
on
was
the
going to be out
score,
all
it says
year.
he's
I mean,
questionable.
Jordan Marshall's been really, really good
I
as
think,
well.
yeah, they have good enough backs that like missing Haynes isn't the end of the world.
Yeah, no, they have. Yeah, they always can tote the rock.
Because a lot of the Haynes like pop touchdowns that we saw earlier in the year were just, I mean, he was untouched, red carpet to the end zone, and I mean it would go for 76 yards, but he was untouched.
Also, another like random thing. Like, I know we're saying this about the fast start, but like, do you think there's any way that Ohio State comes out flat? Like, I just don't see a world that they're not so fired up, especially being on the road too. Like, I just don't see a world that Ohio State comes out flat again this year.
Well, I think Ohio State's defense is going to show up no matter what. Like, that's like, dude, being fired up on defense is like, we're going to tackle well, we're going to hit hard, like, we're going to do our assignment, like, we're going to have so much juice. But at the end of the day, like, you can't really do that if you're on offense. Like, you're still just getting in the huddle,
You got
you
to
get the play
execute.
call, and you try to
Or
execute.
you
Like,
just go
playing.
methodically down the
But I'm
field.
saying, yeah, but you're playing a different, like, I always think, like, in big games, like, Ohio State's defense is like going to show up. Like, that is going to be that's I'm not worried about that. But when you have to go to the big house, like, you can't hear anything. Like, we'll see how their offense, we'll see, like, if Michigan's defense also has that edge too.
Yeah.
So I mean, if Bryce Underwood has a really awesome game and they win, like
that'd be awesome.
superstar status, yeah. So, I mean, I hope Michigan wins, but I'm just
All
not seeing
right.
it.
We're gonna go Texas versus Texas A&M. What's the spread on this game? I did
Three and
not
a
write it
half.
down. 3.5,
Three and a half.
Texas A&M. We're at We are in home, right?
It's in Austin.
It's in Austin,
At
Texas.
Texas.
So, the Marcell versus Arch Reed is kind of a fascinating quarterback mashup. But this is the one statistic that is like super eye-popping for A&M, and it's on their defense. Other teams on third down are 21% against A&M's defense, and that is first in the country. So they're the best third down defense in the country. So if Texas is not balanced and they are in third and seven all day, it's over. It's over. The game will not go Texas's way. But if they are able to run the football at least effectively enough to where they're in third and manageable, third and three, third and four, Sark can actually call what he wants on third down, then we might see this game get pretty frisky pretty quick. But this Texas offense has been they've they their offense is a bit broken, and they have not been able to run the ball very effectively this season. But on a one game sample size at home, a staff such as Sark, and then a position group such as the Texas O-line or running back room, will both at any of those at any given day, Texas could run the ball. So just because they haven't been able to run the ball, like, doesn't mean they can't. But that's yet to be proven, which is why I'm not as confident in Texas, but I do see that path for them being ahead of the sticks. And also, Marcell Reed is, I mean, we saw his game was perfectly encapsulated by the South Carolina game, with hit the first half where he just had three turnovers, and then the second half where he takes the game over.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of narrative based. There's two reasons I think that Texas is going to win. First, I just home game. That's not the reason, but that's an advantage. And we've seen so many ups and downs from Texas all year, and we've also seen the potential that they have, especially defensively. And then we've seen Arch Manning get better and better as the weeks have gone by and really progress. And just flash in basically every game since the first few where he struggled a bit. And like you were saying, in a one game sample size where there's so much riding on the result of this game, I think a coach like Sark, who we've seen get the job done time in and time out, I think that I think that they come up big offensively in this spot. And then it's just about defense for them. Is the defense going to be able to stop Texas A&M? And I realize this stat can be used against Texas as well, but a coach of mine once said that there's a direct correlation between the amount of times that you score 30 points and the amount of games that you win. So Texas A&M has scored 30 points in their 11 wins. They've scored 30 points over 30 points 10 times. The one game they did not was Auburn. So they won that game 16-10. They were asking to lose that game, but they found a way to win. I think that I'm going to trust that principle, ignore the fact that you can apply it to Texas, and say that they should really only have 11 regular season wins and that Texas should win this game.
Dude,
And I realize
let's shout out the football coach.
Coach Doug Martin, offensive
Oh,
coordinator of the Eli
I thought
Phoenix.
that was a Fulmer thing. He does a
No,
28
no, no.
point thing.
Yeah, no. This is,
Well,
yeah. Doug Martin's a
football coach
30-point guy.
ism.
Yeah. And there's, and he alleges that there's a science behind this. So I'm going to trust that science and say that Texas is able to pull this off.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of those games where, like, I've had this feeling all week that Texas is gonna win with not like a ton of analysis or data behind that. One thing, Texas has played really well at home under Sark, and especially in the last 2 years. I was just looking this up. They're 19-2 in the past 3 seasons when they're at home. And then also, I just think that like their offense has been playing a lot better since I want to say it was the Kentucky game. Yeah, the Kentucky game. Since then, their offense has been very good. And Arch, even in that Georgia game, I thought showed some flashes of being good. And they obviously got theirs last week against Arkansas, but who really hasn't? So, I mean, there's really not a ton of analysis other than I like Texas in this game. I like them at home. I like them kind of playing for their head coach, Sark coaching for not really his job security necessarily, but the perception around his job security. I think that a win in this game, regardless of if they make the playoffs or not, kind of gives him a little bit more breathing room. Versus if they come out flat again and you go 8-4 with this team that was supposed to be your national championship squad. I think the narrative about Sark in the offseason would be a lot different if they lose this game versus if they win this game, which I don't like when they do that to coaches, but I just think that's how it's going to be, especially at Texas. I also think A&M, like, they did get away with one against South Carolina, and I feel like some teams have that's happened to them. They've like Bama did not get away with their loss or with their bad effort against Oklahoma. And I mean, Georgia's gotten away with it a little bit in some of their halves, but A&M got away with one. And I do think that they're going to get got this week. Give me Texas. And yeah, it's Texas. And what's going to make the committee's life hell?
I
Because if
also want
you,
to go
listen,
ahead, Sam.
Vandy beats Tennessee. Quickly, if you lose, if Texas loses this game and they get left out, it really discourages
Or you
teams.
mean win?
Sorry, if they win this game and don't make the playoff, it really discourages teams from scheduling big time non-conference games.
I feel like that's the same thing Bama said last year, but Bama's gripe was that, but they also lost to Oklahoma and lost to Vandy. Like, I don't know. I think
No, Bama lost three SEC games last year.
yeah, but they didn't that but the, Bama said the same thing about like why are people gonna like do the strength schedule thing. It was because you lost the teams you should have beaten. And for me, if Texas is gonna make win it or win against A&M and be 9-3 and get left out, they shouldn't point to their loss to Ohio State. They should point to them getting blown out in the swamp. Like,
I
I
think
think that Ohio
that
State
great
game doesn't
chance.
really, I think it more boosts their resume because they lost by 7, and for the longest time people thought Texas was still really good because they only lost to Ohio State by 7 in week one. But
Well,
that's just me.
okay, I want to defend Sam's argument because on the flip side, if Miami also doesn't get in and you're like, "Whoa, wait, we scheduled Notre Dame and beat them and then all of a sudden Notre Dame's in and we aren't." And then Texas is like, "Well, we scheduled Ohio State and lost to the best team in the country and we're also On the not in." road. But Vandy got to play Georgia Southern and Virginia Tech and we're like, "Here's our non-conference, fellas," and like they get in the playoffs. So There's no world that Vandy gets in above Texas. No chance.
Oh, well, okay, yeah. Well, if Vandy gets left out or Vandy gets in and Texas gets left out, yeah, I think there could be some gripes specifically about that. But my whole thing is I just don't get the whole out of con I don't know. That's just my take on it, though,
I agree
because
with
I
what
feel
you're
like
saying
Texas.
about the Florida game, Arch. Like
I
that's,
you're right. You're right.
yeah.
You're right.
But
I also just think like the committee's process is flawed,
oh yes,
which is why we're even having this discussion.
yeah.
Well, it always comes back to that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Because both of us, I think, are right.
Because yes, Notre Dame is probably better than Miami at this point, but if they both finish 10-2. And Miami doesn't make it in, and Notre Dame does. Like,
Why did we play that football game?
yeah, what are we doing? So,
I'm glad that I'm not in the committee's hands because I think that I would put Miami in, but I think that Notre Dame is better than them at this point.
Agreed.
So
Agreed.
it's just
Yeah,
like,
I think they should both be in that case then.
I think they should both be in over Vandy or somebody else.
We're the G5 team, but we don't
Yeah.
have to open that
I don't
can
know.
of
North
worms.
Texas might be pretty funny in the playoffs or Navy or whoever, but
I think North Texas could scheme up like a good first couple. I don't know. Like, what if North Texas? I could see North Texas hanging around with someone for a half.
if it's North
I
Texas
mean,
versus Texas Tech, I could see them hanging around. Dude, they could
did
turn
you
on a
watch
coin.
the did you watch North Texas play USF?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. They were getting zoomed the whole game.
Yeah, well,
Yeah,
dude,
that's
you gotta
true.
watch. Dude, North Texas looked good against Navy, and Navy also beat USF. So, like,
Dude, Navy could also get zoomed by any team they played in the
oh, I
playoffs.
agree. I'm
Sorry.
not saying that.
Yeah.
But, dude, the G5s are
I don't
just
think
as big.
any of the G5 teams are frisky. Like,
Dude,
there's
that's
no chance.
okay. All I'm saying, I agree with you. I agree with
And
you.
what?
I'm just defending Sam. Like, dude, they run the air raid, and like, they actually have a pretty good back who's probably going to transfer up to an SEC school. Like, dude, you can be frisky for a half.
Their defense is just,
Not good. They're
it's
not going to
not.
tackle. They don't tackle well enough to beat any of these teams, but.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of the G5 offenses are really good, but
Yes.
their defenses are like
They don't tackle.
literally like a P4 running back could just like crease a hole and like get untouched for 70 yards like multiple
Yeah.
times.
Yeah.
I think that goes back to a good college football talking point in general. It's for defensive players, the location matters more than where you're going for a coach. Like offensive players are make a selection based off the coach more specifically. And for defensive players, you can have an average defensive coordinator call plays, and you're just going to go to Oklahoma or LSU. You're going to go to an SEC school and like play big time football games as a blue chip defensive player. So you never really see like defensive studs in G5, but you always see offensive weapons.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, like you could be a 5'8 running back in the G in a G5 and end up making the NFL because like you're just an awesome athlete and like you got overlooked, but you're not gonna be a 5'8 nickel ever. Or like a five or a 5'8, a 5'8 like safety. Like you just can't be that because like you just won't physically be able to tackle and run and cover as or and rush the passer like you need to at to play defense. So yeah, defense is a lot more like, dude, just go be an athlete, please. Like
One more point about this game too, and this is going to reinforce everything Sam was saying. I think we've had a pretty good feel for picking Texas games all year. Like we knew that they were probably going to lose to Florida. We knew they were going to beat OU. We knew they were going to beat Vandy. Like in those big game situations, I think we've had a good feel for how Texas is going to perform. So that gives me confidence about this game as well.
Let's I just put that out.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I didn't give my prediction. I don't know. I feel like I've been pretty right with Texas this year, but I've also been right with A&M. Something about me just thinks
Not
that
hard to be right with
Texas.
A&M.
Yeah. Well, I think, but it's just like part of, like every bone in my body wants to pick Texas to win this game, because if Texas wins this game, then Georgia's going to Atlanta, where we will probably beat Bama and probably be SEC champions for the second
Second
straight
straight year.
year. But part of me just thinks, like I don't know. I think A&M gets it done. Well, I'm gonna pick A&M, but I want Texas to win, and I think they will win. But there's something I don't. It doesn't make any sense. But I just think Texas A&M wins.
Hey, since we're on the G5 thing, could I quickly just do like what Navy needs to make the AAC championship?
Yeah.
Okay, so well, first they have to beat Memphis, and I have a very short game preview. I think the mids do two things very well. Well, no, they don't. They do two things that you can guarantee. They run the rock. They're first in the country in rushing, and they don't stop the pass. They're almost last in the country stopping the pass. So the question is, do the mids win the turnover battle, or do they have over 2.5 sacks? Those are the key points where they're gonna have to beat Memphis. Okay, now this is the AAC championship scenario. Tulane is pretty much winning in. They play Charlotte. All right, Caleb Curtin, work cut
So
out.
they're in.
They're in. Yeah. North Texas is winning in. They play at Temple and they are not favored. Or if they are, it's by a very short margin.
Favored
By how much?
against Temple, and North Texas is favored by like 18.
What?
They're heavy
Oh, I was
favorites.
reading the wrong thing. Oh, I thought it was a close spread. Never mind. All right, so we need
Let's
either
go
Temple.
Temple, though. That'd be a huge
Come on,
win.
Owls. So we need the Owls basically to beat North Texas. And then Navy is in with a win and then a Tulane or North Texas loss. So not they have like a 30% chance of getting in.
The
But
official spread is University of North Texas -20.5 at home against Navy. So
what?
we're gonna need a
Temple?
miracle. But
Temple?
so if you want to make that your super dog for your super dog luck, you could probably do it.
Let's go, Owls. Come on, Owls. I'm feeling the Owls. Dude, that's a Casey Keeler spot where, like, program. That's a program spot. And we've been an Owls spot.
He's won a lot of football games in the state of Texas.
He has.
That's true.
He's done that. He's
I'll
done
give that
that.
to him.
Yeah.
We got
He's
to look
doing
at the
them.
geography where Sam Houston is relative to Denton, Texas. See
Yeah.
if he's got some home field.
Yeah. Look that up for us. That's actually good. That's good. That's good journalism. Bad journalism by me thinking this was a close spread.
Sam Houston's in Austin.
Sam Houston's in Austin.
I think so.
We got to get on the map here.
But
Sam Houston, I don't know,
I like Navy to get the job done. It's
yeah, I do too.
210 miles. They just need some help.
Yeah, we need a lot of help. We're also 5.5 point underdogs, but that doesn't matter to me. Sam, do you want to go over what you just wrote on this piece of paper?
Yeah, so like this is really fucked. Also, I'm gonna add this too.
Electric podcasting.
So, okay, well, I'll hold it up for you. Or do you want to?
I just wrote this out. It's like a big playoff hypothetical. And so right now, assuming all of these teams win, Indiana, Alabama, UGA, Ole Miss, Oregon, Texas Tech, North Texas, UVA. That's just your two other automatic bids. Oklahoma and A&M. For all of those, like those are basically locks for the playoff if they win. I also didn't include Ohio State, but if Ohio State, because my scenario has them potentially losing, that's 11 spots locked up, which leaves one spot for a 10-2 Miami with wins over Pitt and Notre Dame, a 10-2 Notre Dame with wins against Pitt, losses against A&M and Miami, an 11-2 BYU with losses to Texas Tech twice and wins over Utah and Cincy. A 9-3 Texas with wins over Vandy, A&M. A 10-2 Vandy with wins over Tennessee, South Carolina, LSU, and Missouri. And then a 10-2 Michigan with a win over Ohio State.
Michigan.
Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan.
Michigan or Texas.
You think Texas jumps Miami and
I
Notre
think
Dame?
they should. I think that solves all of the potential issues the committee has. If I'm thinking like a committee member, it's we can't put Notre Dame in over Miami and Texas just beat the whatever A&M's ranked, the number three team in the country. They have a bunch of ranked, they beat another playoff team,
No, but then they'd have
Oklahoma,
to, but
like.
then Michigan.
But no, Michigan should make it over Texas
Oh, you're
in this
saying Michigan,
scenario. Yeah.
and then if Michigan loses to Ohio State, Texas.
Texas.
But what
Yeah.
if Michigan doesn't beat Ohio State? So then you have that last spot between Vandy, UT, BYU, Notre Dame, and Miami.
Dude, it has to be
Notre
Texas.
Dame. No, because Ohio State's still going to be in.
What I'm saying, but there's still
You
11 spots.
can't put Notre Dame in over Miami. They both have to make it if Notre Dame makes it.
You can
Well,
and they
Michigan would be
will.
in there
And
technically.
well, they you can't, but they will.
Also,
That's the better
the
way to
real
put that.
shame of it all is that UVA makes it in this playoff
And
scenario.
North Texas, the
Yeah.
UVA and North Texas make it in this playoff.
Well, that's
Yeah.
interchangeable to the two auto bids.
Let's just hope Pitt
Well,
wins and we don't have to watch UVA in the playoffs.
dude, that
If
would no,
UVA
Pitt's not making the
wins,
ACC championship.
who plays in the ACC championship if
Well,
UVA
I
wins?
wrote down the scenarios. So the ACC championship game is this. Virginia is winning in. If they beat Virginia Tech, they're in. SMU is winning in. If they beat Cal, they're in. So the most likely scenario is Virginia versus SMU because they're probably both gonna, okay?
What a horrendous
SMU.
game. Well,
Pitt
I've
needs
seen. Did...
a win plus a UVA or SMU loss. And then Miami needs a win plus both a UVA and SMU loss. So Miami's pretty much done.
No, Miami needs more help. They need their wins boosted too.
Okay, plus stuff we can't predict right now. But so Miami's pretty much out. Pitt just needs a win and a UVA or SMU loss. But so
Please, Virginia Tech, please.
yeah, we need Sagopoulos or the Fighting James Franklins to come out and win a game.
I think our best chance is Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I
Yes,
agree.
I agree. What's the spread?
10. No, it started at 11.5 and it soared down to 9.5.
That might be my
Yeah.
super dog.
Well, I just don't think that either, even if Virginia makes it, I don't think they're going to make the playoff because I was looking at a power rating and they have SMU like a 7-point favorite over Virginia and an ACC championship on a neutral.
I think
So,
SMU is a lot better than Virginia.
SMU would dog
Yeah.
Virginia. So
Yeah.
Pitt would dog
Also,
Virginia too.
SMU is so, they're so just,
ACC.
at least you get
They're just,
Kevin
they're so
Jennings.
uninspiring.
But if they make the playoff again, like that's pretty comical.
Kevin Jennings, two playoff bids. That'd be sick. And then just get worked again.
As Charlie likes to call him, Kevin
Jenkins.
Jenkins.
Ooh, Jenkins. That's his alter ego.
That's
That's the guy who showed up
nine.
versus Penn
That's
State.
the guy in the second half versus Clemson last year, Kevin
Yeah.
Jenkins,
Yeah,
and
that's
the guy
true.
versus Miami
Yeah,
this year.
exactly. I like that. The alter
When he
ego.
plays well, he's Kevin Jenkins.
Yeah. Yeah, but do you guys know Utah can, I mean, Utah and Arizona State could still make the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, Utah's is you have to have two like 20-point favorites win, but
Well, you yeah, Utah has to win, BYU has to win, Arizona State has to win, and Texas Tech has to lose. So that could happen.
Jeff Sims is he's finding it a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Running back Sims, RB, one of the RB of the weeks. But yeah, so it's probably going to be if Texas Tech beats WVU and BYU beats UCF, then it's that's we're staring down the barrel of that for the Big 10, Big 12 championship game. And okay, do we want to do Iron Bowl? Okay, we've got Alabama, Auburn. Sam, or anybody, what are your guys' thoughts on this game? Okay. Duska or Caleb, do you want to lead this?
Mine's
Yeah.
short and sweet. I don't think Auburn's good, but the Iron Bowl is a crazy game. I've always been a DeBoer backer, though, and I just have to trust that the offense is going to be able to score enough points where this putrid Auburn offense is unable to match that number, and Alabama just find a way to win this game. If not, it's a shame for Kalen DeBoer because the season's been it's been a good season for them and a lot he killed a lot of the talk surrounding his
Job
credibility
security,
yeah
yeah.
his credibility for being the head coach at Alabama, but it all goes away with and it all the criticism comes back with a loss here. So I'm a DeBoer guy and I want him to win this game, so I'm gonna back him here.
Yeah, this is such a weird game, I guess like spread wise too.
Yes.
I feel like the more I guess expectation you put on Auburn, the worse they are. So them being in
It's a
this
great
game
point.
with a 5-point spread and everybody's like they're gonna do it. This is just a classic Auburn gets beat by like 40.
Yeah.
Like I just don't like I just I don't think they're that good. I think their defense is good. They did the Daniels kid is playing this week since he sat out versus Mercer. He was running from the
Mercer
grind,
was
but
tied after one.
we were winning 14-7 at one point. And
Hang
then
the
our
banner.
defense hit, the regression monster hit, and then they scored. But I think they're gonna have Deuce Knight involved too for Auburn. I mean, he was just a running back versus Mercer. He had like 280-yard scrambles. I don't know. I just don't see a world that Auburn wins this football game. But it is a 5-point spread for a reason. It depends what Bama you get, I think. I think DeBoer's done a pretty bad job over his tenure of like getting them ready for every single game. Like with the letdown spots like last year, Oklahoma and Vandy. If you trot out with one of those efforts, you will lose in Jordan Hare. But if you've trot out anything slightly above that, I think you win.
Yeah, if you trot out the Missouri effort, you probably win.
Yeah. I think this is a classic. You don't care how much you win by, you just want to win. But I think if Bama's on, they could really, like I said, the more expectation on Auburn, the worse they do. And a lot of people are expecting good from them this week. So I could definitely see them not doing well at all.
I don't do this, but there is a that people do put faith in the Auburn Tigers. I personally don't. So, but that is just one of my cardinal rules of life is like do not expect much from the Auburn Tigers. And I mean, it's slightly better with Jackson Arnold on the bench, but yeah, I think you guys covered it pretty well.
Yeah, I think it might have been Pate on his show last week, was talking about the whole like dark magic shit about Jordan Hare and how it's just Bama fans that put that into motion. But yeah, the spread I think at one point went to like 3.5 at some point. It's back up to 5.5. But I think that in these Super Bowl type games that you're like, this is Auburn's Super Bowl, and I think that the outside factors of this game actually kind of lean towards Auburn and help Auburn. We've yet to really see, I mean, I guess the Georgia game is here, but I feel like Bama, this is the biggest game in DeBoer's tenure, in my opinion. Basically, a playoff game for them. And I'm going to be interested to see what Bama does and how they react if Auburn goes down the field, if Auburn takes the ball and goes down the field and scores, and then Bama goes 3 and out or something. I would like to see how they respond to early adversity in this game. And I think the pucker meter will absolutely be in effect here too. But I don't know. I just feel like this is going to be one of those games that Auburn's playing for Durkin probably for the last time. They've really got behind him. Like you said, Arch, I do think Deuce Knight is going to be part of this game plan. They haven't announced a starter, and I highly doubt they will until whoever trots out for that first snap. A little gamesmanship there. But it's going to be really interesting to see how Bama does with their back against the wall like this. This is the second time this year that they've had their back against the wall when they came into Georgia, and they obviously won that game. So interesting to see. And then what the offseason talks surrounding DeBoer will be if they do lose this game, and how hot his seat will be, and how real those Penn State rumors are. So that'll be another interesting factor in the outcome of this game.
All right, I just want to say something. Just because Jimmy Sexton was in Happy Valley, he represents every college football coach. So it doesn't mean it's to all the Penn State fans that are like, holy
There
shit.
is merit to the DeBoer.
I know, I'm just saying. He represents every.
Sounds like Chesney's the
When you're in
favorite
the
for Penn
clubhouse? Yeah.
State. Yeah. Which I saw some
That'd be a
Penn
good
State
hire.
fans hating on that on Twitter
Damn.
because they don't want JMU players to transfer into Penn State and they're gonna lose all the
That
guys they have
really
now.
went well for Indiana,
Yeah,
right?
that's a terrible
That went
idea.
horrible for
Yeah,
Indiana.
terrible idea.
Also, like Bob
Well,
Chesney is just a he's won at Holy Cross and James Madison, like a team that just transitioned to FBS. Like the guy knows how to build a program and win games, so
also, the Iron Bowl being at night's pretty cool.
also, Bob Chesney's a worse coach than James Franklin. Let's just put that out there, though. So good job, Penn State. You got yourself a.
that was the other point they were making. You don't fire James Franklin to hire Bob Chesney, but
I feel
you
like you
wanted to
shouldn't
fire
even get
you
fired
don't
in.
fire James Franklin because there's not well, the secret is there's not a lot of coaches that are better than him.
Exactly. What? How about that? What do
But
you know?
we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Chesney rumored to UCLA too as well.
Yeah, I thought
I don't
that was
know.
more of a done deal than Penn State. I thought that was like the big spot for Chesney was
Oh,
UCLA.
dude. I just think he's not going to be at JMU next year. They'll probably find some guy that's coached some D3 school and he'll be a legend too.
Yeah. True,
And
true.
I know these coaching hires, like if John Summerall and Bob Chesney both get hired, Summerall to Auburn and Chesney to Penn State, like I know there's times where it doesn't work out, like a Billy Napier, but the thought process behind the hires, they always make sense. And like I feel like looking back and like criticizing hiring like a Billy Napier in general, like I feel like it's unfair sometimes because you find good reasons for the hire when it ends up happening. Like in Chesney's case, like clearly I think James Franklin is a better coach, but you understand why Penn State would go in that direction. And if it
Well,
doesn't work out, like there's other outside factors that impact that, but it's unfair to just criticize hiring someone in the first place.
there's also great like the military like it, when they're grading the generals on like the decisions they make, they don't look back and see like what happened and then use that to determine whether the decision was right or not. All you do is you look at the information he had at that moment and like if that was the best decision at with the given information that they had. So I just wanted to make that clear about like especially Billy Napier. Like Billy Napier, he's probably one good offensive coordinator hire away from working, and like him not calling the plays from the start, like that's probably he recruited well, he got buy-in from the university, they had some big wins, and they weren't consistent enough, and that was probably due to his play calling in some facet. So like it wasn't that far off of a miss.
Yeah, and that's a perfect example of like you can't blame the process of hiring Billy Napier. Like there's other situations where like a Hugh Freeze type of hire, like a little more criticism can be put onto a hire like that. But when you hire a hot shot young coach like John Summerall, like it yes, there's a chance it doesn't work out, but you can't I feel like there's a lot of situations where you can't blame that the process that led to you hiring him.
And I also love how like the G5 or FCS coaches get looked at because like they're also really good football coaches. Like we got to think Kalen DeBoer was coaching at a D3 school not that long ago, winning national championships.
Kurt
So
Cignetti.
yeah, Kurt Cignetti was coaching at IUP within like a decade ago. So like really good football coaches exist outside the scope of, like, that's why I don't like the Hugh Freeze hire, because it's like a stale hire. A Bob Chesney hire is like, oh, this guy, program winning, let's see how he does in the big stage. And like,
Do you think if Bama loses to Auburn, that there's any chance they would fire DeBoer to hire Lane?
that would just be too spicy of a situation. The Lane situation's already spicy enough.
That gets me excited. I kind of would love that, but
I think that would, I actually think that would happen.
You think?
that's if it does
I would love
happen,
that for Bama because then
we're
Georgia
clipping
would be the best in the SEC. If you
that.
hire a guy after, if you fired a guy and then hire, is DeBoer better coach than Lane? That's how you like have this,
He's
like,
one
look at
more.
it.
As a head coach, he's one more.
Who,
Are you
Lane?
talking about DeBoer is
No,
better than
DeBoer.
Lane? That's what
I
I'm
think
saying.
DeBoer's
Why would
the
you
better
ha why would
coach.
you fire a guy that's the worst? Like, why would you fire the guy to hire the guy that's
Well, some
worse?
people might not agree with us.
Yeah.
Because Alabama, the expectations at Alabama are out of this world, and
They're Nick Saban, who doesn't deserve it.
their fans are they
9-3 2 years in a row with some pretty inexplicable losses is not the standard at Bama.
yeah.
Like, we're also just forgetting that they got blown out by one of the worst teams in the ACC.
They did. Yeah,
That
that's
is
a
true.
terrible
That
loss.
happened.
And then they
That
would,
happened.
in this hypothetical scenario, have lost to a team that fired their head coach midway through the year and has looked dead all of 2025.
Yeah, true. True. I mean, listen, like I said in the very first podcast we ever did, Nick Saban doesn't exist anymore. And the new Alabama is lives in Athens, Georgia, because the new Nick Saban, or the most equivalent to him in any capacity, is Kirby Smart. So yeah, people are gonna have to temper their expectations a bit, but the Alabama season is not over yet. But that'd be insane. Do you think Lane's like waiting around to see if like they Bama loses the Iron Bowl? Like, do you think that's what he's doing with this thing?
No,
I don't think,
maybe.
like, we don't know, but like,
Well,
that
does
is kind of
DeBoer get
cheap.
immediately fired if they lose the Iron Bowl on Saturday?
Maybe. I mean, that athletic director at Bama works quick. Once Nick Saban retired, DeBoer was hired within like a week. So,
Also, how about Mike Norvell keeping his job next year? Good for him.
dude, that's literally the thing we were talking about with the Napier thing. If they put out a statement at the end of the season that they're keeping it, it means they're firing you next year. No matter what you
Yeah.
do, they're
Dan
firing you.
Pittman, Billy Napier, Hugh Freeze. Oh yeah, you think Luke Fickell's fired next year?
No, I think that was a pure money move. I don't think they could afford to pay his buyout and then go hire someone
They've
else.
also, Wisconsin has had some
I also
good
like that
wins.
Wisconsin did that. They've been balling out. Shout out Wisconsin. I've been hard on them. Shout out Wisconsin for how they played the last few weeks.
Their defense is
Shout
coming back.
out. If the
Shout
AD
out
is ever
Badgers.
coming out putting a statement saying that we are fully committed to you, they're not. They're just waiting for
You're
next year.
fully cooked if that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should go ahead and look at the real estate market because
Yeah.
you're fired. You're like, I don't understand it.
Yeah. Just be a renter, not a, don't buy a mortgage. Definitely not that.
Yeah.
All right. Do we want to do one more, or do you want to end this? Do you want to end it?
What else do you got?
Dude, we could do Egg Bowl. We could do the Peach Bowl. We could do Miami Pitt. We could do
What's
Tech,
the Peach Bowl?
the Georgia, like Georgia Tech.
What's the
Plain
name of that
old-fashioned
game called?
hate. Yeah, I don't know. I just made up Peach
The
Bowl.
neutral field slop fest? Is
Oh
that what
yeah,
you're
the
talking
new
about?
real name is clean
the
old
corporate.
fashioned hate.
Oh, the corporate.
The
Yeah,
that's
that's
a
right.
good name.
Yeah,
Clean old fashioned hate. The
that's
corporate one
Georgia
is the
Tech's though. I
Invesco
don't. That's Georgia Tech's
QQQ
own
Gridiron
fault.
Classic.
Invesco QQQ Gridiron Classic.
That's
That's
literally
awesome.
what the corporate people are trying to name it
the
now.
Invesco QQQ.
The reason I think we don't have to preview this game is because Georgia Tech played the way they did
Yeah.
on Saturday.
Do we want to do Egg Bowl?
No.
Okay. All I'll
I'd
say, dude, I do want to. The Lane Kiffin stuff is fascinating.
rather talk about Lane Kiffin than talk about
That's what
this.
I'm saying. The Lane Kiffin
Yeah,
stuff,
let's
like,
talk Lane.
dude, Lane, like, what is
He
happening?
loves this. This is
What is
this. He
happening?
loves people talking about him.
Do we all think that he's going to LSU?
No,
For now, yeah.
No.
I thought he was
Arch?
going to stay until. Did you guys hear what Saban said on game day on
No.
Saturday? I always thought that. I feel like Saban's probably an integral part of Kiffin's support staff and like who he like meant like as a mentor. And they were all like Herb Street and all the guys were just saying like, oh, like how much greener is the grass, blah, 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 blah. And then Saban, they're like, Nick, like what do you, and then Saban came on and was like, I understand what you guys are saying, but you also have to think like the last 2 years, Lane has built Ole Miss out of the transfer portal, right? And we've seen from other teams that this is not a sustainable way of having success. And now, like, obviously they've been good the last few years, but when you look at their recruiting class compared to LSU's recruiting class, it's not even close. Like, LSU's been a top five recruiting class every single year. Pretty sure Ole Miss has been outside of the top 10 in the like mid-15s. So that would be my main thought, like thought of him leaving would be a more steady recruiting basis to then just have continued success. Because we've seen with Norvell, Steon, like this has not worked. It's not sustainable.
Just to back that up, Ole Miss, I'm on On3 right now. Ole Miss is currently ranked as the 20th recruiting class, and LSU, who no longer has a coach, is 11th.
With no head coach. Will
Yes,
they
and
get Lane Upson there? They go right in the top five.
Florida is 13th.
My take on the cycle is I don't think a single high name coach should take the LSU job. I think that place
Especially
is
with the
broken
Brian
right
Kelly
now.
stuff now.
Like, I think that place is broken. They tried to do the whole
They haven't
fire for
technically
cause for
fired him
Kelly.
yet.
Yeah, but they're like the way that they've done it, like what they've done. Clearly, the person who was going to pay the Kelly buyout backed out, and now he doesn't want to pay because now they're trying to do all these loops. To that pro, they won by 3 to Western Kentucky on Saturday night in
That was
Death
insane
Valley.
for senior day.
Senior day. That place is. Sorry about the senior day. Brian Kelly's son with
My boy.
the
Free my
free
boy.
my boy BK.
Like he's dead. It was genuinely one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But LSU is broken. I don't know. Like any coach that takes that, you're writing like a 3 year, you're writing a 3 year like postponement of your next job.
Wait,
I
so
don't get it.
Brian Kelly, if he doesn't find another job next year. What if he does find another No,
job?
but
Does
he
that
can't
count towards
interview
the
right
bump?
now because they never technically fired him, apparently.
Yeah. Kelly's attorney put something out that the way that LSU has done this thing, how they're arguing that they never fired him and now they are firing for cause, has made Kelly not be able to go to find another job. And it's making it like impossible for him to work next year, which is the stipulation of his contract to
Crazy.
try. I don't know that it's never, that thing is not going to be resolved for a few months. And I don't think that any LSU coach, any like John Summerall is like, I don't think anybody should be licking their chops because
I do
LSU
think
right
it's
now.
more likely that Summerall goes to Auburn than LSU right now, then.
Yeah, I think
I
that
think Summerall to
LSU.
Auburn's done.
Marsh,
Yeah.
the only contention I'd have to that is the financial commitment from LSU will still be there. And all the benefits that you get from being at a program like that, like those still exist. And if you give Lane Kiffin a certain amount of money that he can go spend on a roster, like he's going to recruit well, which is the most important thing. And he's going to be able to put together a class for next year, at least, that I think they'll still be competitive. I think that those are more like issues with how past leadership has operated there and the last few coaches they've had. I don't think that would, I don't, if you get the right guy in, I don't think that carries over into a new staff, if that makes
I
sense.
also feel
Yeah.
like just this was like, seems really casual to take it from my end, but like, wouldn't Kiffin's people just make the contract a lot stronger if this is what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then that's like, I don't know. My thing is if Kiffin's offered the LSU in the Auburn or LSU in Florida, I'm taking Florida 9 times out of 10 right now. That's just, I think LSU, I think people's historic perception of programs is too baked into stuff now. I think LSU is more of a middle of the pack program than a top pack in the SEC now. That's my take. And I think that their job market is kind of reflected on that. Like, if you hire Kenny Dillingham, is any LSU coach fired up? Is any LSU fan fired up? No. And that's like that. I think that's more likely than Kiffin right now.
Okay,
What
wait.
makes you say that though?
I thought Kenny Dillingham said that he's staying. I also don't think Kenny Dillingham would take the
Every coach will say they're staying and then
What
leave.
makes you
Like,
say that that's more likely than Lane going to
I just don't see
that?
Lane Kiffin going to LSU. That's just me. I
Source,
think with
my gut.
Everything that he's seen and everything that's happened in his past, like if he takes the LSU job, he's learned literally nothing about the last 15 years of his like college coaching career.
Yeah, that would be another thing is him leaving Tennessee for USC would be.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay. Well, okay. What if I laid out the Ole Miss argument?
And the Ole Miss argument is like, right now, they have a top 30 defense in the country. And they're always going to have a top 15 offense. And if they keep pulling the 20th recruiting class and then they keep being elite in the portal like they are, maybe this is the outlier of like a team that's laced with portal talent. Because it's not like they're not recruiting high school. Like having the 20th high school team is high school is not like poverty, but it's also probably as best Ole Miss can do because what we talk about with getting defensive players there, they don't have the sustainable culture of physicality that defensive players want to go to, like say Florida and LSU can have. But dude, there's something about having success at a spot, and like I wonder how much his family also plays a role into this. Like, do you think like I don't think he's that much of a scumbag. Maybe he is, but I feel like he's grown a lot as a human being, and it's nice. What he has in Oxford right now is pretty nice, and if they go to the playoff this year, it's like, all right, like
Then why
can
hasn't he
I
come out and said, I'm staying at Ole Miss?
Dude,
Because I
yeah, it's
do
so
because
easy to do that.
but I'm saying like maybe he doesn't know yet, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like the longer this is drawn out, the more uncertain he is, and also I think like maybe he's just like, dude, I've moved around so much in my entire life. I finally find like my spot, like where my name is equivalent to the university. Like Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss are synonyms right now, and like you finally find that, and like the place embraces you. And then how good are the options of Florida? Because like you, the options he has. Because like you said, Arch, the LSU, they are not aligned as an organization right now. In Florida, we just saw what can happen in Florida, and like, you already have a really good program at Ole Miss, so I don't know. I do think that
Dude,
he could stay there. I think he's going to stay at Ole Miss. Am I crazy?
I just think for the LSU case, and especially with Lane now, with everything that's happened in his past, and people say he's grown a lot, and I'm sure he definitely has grown as a person. Like, he's not just making this decision on a whim. Like, it's definitely the reason it's probably taking so long is because he's probably still like thinking it
He
out
doesn't
and trying
know.
and weigh all the options. But I think he also knows, and I mean, you can't get to this level of coaching if you're not the ultimate competitor. And I think deep down, he knows that if the potential classes he'd be able to pull together at LSU or at Florida, like, it doesn't compare to that of Ole Miss. And having to bank on the portal every year to bring in defensive talent, and their defense isn't really that good this year, comparatively. Like,
It's top 30.
having to bank, yeah, but my point
Dude,
is, like, having to bank,
they have two returning starters this year.
having yeah having to
This is
bank on the
not
portal to
sustainable. You're
put
not going to hit
together,
every single time in the portal. You're not going to have some
exactly.
D2 quarterback come be your savior.
But you know what you're going to be able to do at LSU or Florida? You're going to be able to go and get, like,
The
just
best edge.
stud
The best edge
DBs,
in the country.
yeah, a
The best
nasty
corner.
edge, yeah, and then just thoroughbred defensive tackles. Like, you're not getting that as much at Ole Miss. And the ultimate competitor in him, I think he knows that he's a good enough offensive coach at this point that he can win national championships. And he knows that he can build programs up to be national championship contenders with what he's done at Ole Miss. I think, which ultimately leads to, I think he would know that having to take the next step and take one of these jobs where he's going to be more resourced and he's going to be able to just put teams together that are more talented. I think he knows that that's the best chance of him getting to the ultimate step and winning a national title. So I think that's why the LSU case and the Florida case is so strong. It's just, it's more, it's, I think it's just more possible there. I think winning a national championship at Ole Miss it might be harder than winning a national championship at Penn State, honestly.
Okay, wait, question though. Do you think Kyle Whittingham was ever offered like big time jobs outside of Utah?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he stayed. And why do you think he stayed? Knowing he was never going to win a national championship at Utah.
Well, no.
Dude, I think there's something about like, dude, lifestyle, being good, like you like the place, and like sometimes this, I think that's what Lane Kiffin is like weighing right now. Like, I know that I can be a better national champion. I can be a national championship at LSU or Florida. But also I know that this could crash and burn and not end up like that.
I think is there something to be said that Lane Kiffin is a better overall, like a better coach and
Schematic coach than.
has more potential than Kyle Whittingham? Is that unfair?
No, super fair. No, I was just throwing it out there of like.
That's like the DeBoer. Like DeBoer is a Northwest guy or like a West Coast guy at minimum. He had the perfect gig at Washington, one of the premier locations on the West Coast. But I
But he
think
also
he
doesn't have the
knew.
track record of
I
like
think he,
Ole
but I
Miss's
think.
like fuck ups.
I think he knew, like deep down, he was a good enough scheme coach and a good enough culture builder that if he had the opportunity to go to a school like Alabama, that he could accomplish a hell of a lot more than he could at Washington, which at the end of the day is just the reality of college football. And I think Lane, I would say Lane's, we compared them earlier, but I'd say Lane's still like that similar caliber of coach, and I feel like his thought process would be similar.
Perry, this the movie scene that this reminds me of is like in Miracle when Herb Brooks is looking at the piece of paper, knowing he has to cut Ralph Cox. And he doesn't want to cut Ralph Cox because like he's the 21st name and like he loves coaching Ralph Cox. And I think like he's gonna I think like he might end up just leaving Ole Miss, knowing that like this was such an awesome place. But like you just don't have the ceiling. And I think it's hard to just let go of that. Like I love Ole Miss. I love Oxford, Mississippi, but like I can't recruit the best edge in the country at Oxford, Mississippi, and I can at LSU. And like he's just staring at that piece of paper thinking like, gosh, Ralph Cox, like I don't want to let you go, but like I know I have to.
I think where like this can get really interesting is if they do this whole like post Egg Bowl thing. I think it would still be in Ole Miss's best interest to let him finish out the season.
Dude, I
This is
think
their best chance, yeah.
yes,
Wait,
ever.
who
This
was
might
saying
be
it?
it.
Yeah.
Des Howard was saying this on game day when Michigan's basketball, when Michigan was really good, their basketball coach left. I forget where exactly it was, say Kentucky, hypothetically. And it was the year they ended up winning the tournament after their head coach left after the regular season. Imagine if Ole Miss, if Kiffin leaves Ole Miss and he doesn't coach and they go on this run.
He gets a ring though, still.
I'm just saying, imagine how insane that would be.
Yeah. Well,
Imagine he wins a national championship as the coach of Ole Miss and then is leaving for LSU.
or they win the Natty
but that
again.
would kind of be Cinderella.
That would be like,
I think that's how he wants this to go out. I think he wants
I
to
think that
like,
this could be part of the negotiations,
yeah, like
yeah.
I think Ole Miss is like, I think Lane's like, dude, I love Ole Miss. You know, I can't recruit the level of defensive player that I can at LSU, and like I'm gonna take that job. But like I love this team, and like I want to, dude. We are good enough to like go far in the playoff, and like we could get hot at the right time. Like he's a
They are.
competitor, so like I don't know. I think he wants so badly to coach this team in the playoffs. But then you're like, then you're putting yourself behind the eight ball in like a recruiting class for the high
And
school.
I don't think it matters.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
I
his
mean,
agent.
I bet a lot of that LSU class that they already like it is the 11th best class right now. I bet a lot of that if Lane is rumored to be the head coach and they want to retain most of the people in that
They
class that
will.
they have committed, like
Yeah.
why would you not want to play for Lane
There's also a
Kiffin? I
later
mean,
signing day where you could still sign kids, so.
yeah.
They also probably can have people going on the road.
Yeah.
As much as how illegal that might be, but I'm sure there's.
That shouldn't be illegal.
Well, there's also people at LSU that will. They're so deep in like the infrastructure of recruiting. Like if Brian Kelly gets fired, they're probably still getting retained there and they're doing whatever their job is in recruiting, and that's going to continue on during the transition of coaches.
All right. Well, I think that's where we're going to end this. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Happy Thanksgiving to from the Forward Path podcast to you. And you're probably our friends or family watching
We're
anyway.
grateful for you.
We'll probably be
Yeah.
with you on Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll tell you in person that we appreciate you. But yeah, this has been fun, guys. Thanks for a
It's
great
gonna be
podcast.
awesome weekend of
Yeah,
football.
can't wait. Oh, dude, the next Tuesday's podcast is going
And
to
then
be.
we're getting the Lane, we're leading the show with the Lane Kiffin,
Yeah,
whatever happens. So,
yeah, yeah. This is a great lead-in. You should.
unless Georgia loses,
That's not happening. But yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait. This is. It's just gonna get more spicy as the pot as the playoffs. As the playoff
I mean, we
looms.
still have like a like damn near 2 months of this, so
I know. I know. And we're just getting
very
started.
exciting.
We're just
Yeah.
getting started. And for the people that have been listening, like our friends and
Comment your
family.
favorite Thanksgiving dish in the comments if you've made it this far.
All right.
Stuffing.
Mashed potatoes, gravy,
Yeah.
lots of gravy.
Yeah. I'm a turkey and mashed potatoes and gravy guy.
Turkey's not a side.
Oh, he said favorite dish.
I said favorite
Yeah,
dish.
isn't that implying side dish?
Mean,
Or no?
how many people's favorite dish in Thanksgiving is turkey?
Low key.
If it's made well.
I think mine.
Smoked
I
turkey.
love a good turkey, dude.
Smoked.
Smoked or fried turkey is
Smoked.
like
Smoked. I'm not fried,
every
man.
day of the week. I'm saying both are
Oh.
unbelievable.
I
Yeah.
like a little ham on the side too, if
No.
there's ham.
No, I actually had this debate yesterday of ham versus turkey. I think turkey
You
is
can
so
end the
much
show with
better.
this. Turkey. Yeah, it's turkey.
I think turkey
It's,
as
I
both
think
a
ham
cold cut
stinks.
and turkey as a
I
meat you're
agree.
eating is better than ham
Okay,
in
I
both
will say.
scenarios. It's a better
I will
bird.
say,
They're a
we
better.
had,
They're not both
dude, we
birds.
had a work Thanksgiving last week, and my manager was the cook.
Corporate Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and she made this ham. Oh my gosh. Sliced it real thin. And after she cooked it, she dumped this like brown sugar, butter, honey mixture. It was insane. It was the best ham I've ever had, but I'm not a ham
Oh,
guy.
this is a honey baked ham. Y'all have that up north?
No.
Yeah. They sell it
It's like,
as lunch meat.
yeah. Honestly, it's chip chop ham.
It's like
If you
you
want to put
put
it on a
brown
sandwich, you
sugar
can
and
get it.
honey on a ham and you smoke it, and then it's
Are you a ham or a turkey guy, Arch?
ham. Well, a good turkey is better than a good ham, but it's hard to get a good turkey.
That's true.
But if you get the
Dry
turkey
turkey is
going right,
worse than dry ham, though, I will say. Oh yeah, dry turkey is like
turkey
you have
has
to
like
have
a
ketchup on
really
there.
small window of excellence,
But it
of
can be
greatness
elite when done well.
when done right.
Yeah.
It's like Ole
My
Miss.
I
Uncle
think I'm
David will have it done at very high level.
I think I'm gonna smoke one for Christmas this year.
Ham or turkey?
Might have to stop by.
A
Yeah.
turkey. Yeah. Archer household will be accepting guests.
There's nothing. I think smoked turkey is better than like some smoked meat.
Yeah. Smoked turkey, just when it's like just juicy, and then you add corn,
And just
mashed potatoes,
put heinous amounts of
gravy.
oh my God.
Gravy. Is the pod still going?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
North Texas coach is expected to become the next. Eric Morris is expected to be the next coach at Oklahoma State.
Good hire.
That's
Oh,
a
great hire.
good.
Great hire.
That's a good hire
That's
for
a
the
good
coach.
pull
I would
for
have the
them.
year. I don't know. I just got an
Dude,
ESPN
that's
alert.
crazy for
Such a
North
temple
Texas.
spot now. It's such a temple spot. They're my super dog.
Yeah, they're going to be so
Even ET
checked
is my
out.
super dog. Go pit.
Dude, that's crazy midweek announcement before like trying
Your
to
biggest,
clinch your
that's
spot in a
huge
conference
game.
championship game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Those guys don't
That's
fuck. They're gonna go
Yeah,
for
no, they
that.
don't. Yeah.
Yeah,
Good for
they're not
Oklahoma
going. That
State.
would be big if he brings the quarterback with him to Oklahoma
Estimaker.
State.
Estimaker.
Because I
I
thought
don't think
Trevor.
Estimaker would do anything in the Big 12.
I've seen Messemaker mock to IU.
What have you called him, Arch?
Steven Maker, dude. He throws two like he's not as good as his like that. I don't
Steven
know.
Maker. Is he an air raid guy, just like air raid merchant, in your opinion?
Yeah, I just don't think that he's gonna like.
Dude, that's the Big 12, though.
They're all air raid merchants.
Yeah. How could he
Okay,
not be
well,
good?
okay. Well, I don't know why ESPN is lying to me now. It says On3 says they're zeroing in on him because zeroing in on hiring.
I just saw a tweet about Jim Knowles interviewing at Oklahoma State.
Oh, he's coming back.
And then Pete Thamel just tweeted.
Maybe that was parody.
Pete Thamel just tweeted North Texas head coach. Oh, he's expected to become the next coach at Oklahoma State. Morris is set to coach out UNT's remaining games, including both a potential American Conference title game and CFP bid. That is
Well,
crazy.
that's a multiple year rebuild anyway for Oklahoma State. So it's probably fine
Oh yeah,
that he spends an extra
they're not
month.
going to
That's a
build
tough
Rome in a
job.
day in
That's a
Stillwater.
tough
Yeah.
job when they're not aligned and within the NIL world as some of the other teams in the Big 12 are. So
But that's a good, I
I
mean,
think
that's
that's a good
probably
hire by him
that's a
because
good
he's
hire.
been used
It's a
to that
great
his
hire.
entire career. Like he's never had the abundance of resources.
No doubt. No
Did you?
doubt.
We also talked about this. Did you guys see that Franklin's probably going to keep Brent Pry on his staff?
That's like a what, linebacker
I
coach?
said that. I said
Yeah.
that when he got hired.
Really? That's
Yeah,
sick.
I read that he's considering that.
Might have
Dude,
to put that.
my hot take for Virginia Tech's next quarterback is the Western Carolina quarterback in under the portal, Taron Dickens.
Dude, that guy's so good. We didn't have to
Yeah,
play
he's.
him. That's why we beat them, but he's unreal.
They might
He entered
keep.
the portal on Sunday. He's going to
Yeah.
be James Franklin's next coach in black or quarterback in Blacksburg.
Marsh, you
Drake
know that
can
guy?
sneak out
Sorry,
one more
we got to
year.
end the pod, but you know that guy, Landon Tengwall?
Yeah, the Penn State guy.
He made a video about like Drew Aller putting his name on that Vandy guy's class action suit to get a fifth year. So that Drew Aller might still be in play, like
Wait,
you were saying the other
guys,
day.
on January, in January, there is going to be a vote in the NCAA. If you haven't used, if you played 4 years of college football and you have not used your red shirt, that you can get a free fifth year. That is being voted on in January. So a bunch of kids might be getting fifth years.
So there's just no such thing as a red shirt anymore,
They'll
then.
just make you could play
Unless like you
5 years
have a
of football.
medical.
Exactly.
I
And
would
so,
vote. I would vote yes for that.
yeah, you
My
get
whole
5 years.
thing is, I think the red shirt thing, the whole this. I think they should just give everybody 5 years, which I think what they're going towards now.
Yeah.
5 years to play football. If you play all 5 years, sure. If you play none of the five, don't care. You're done. Like.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, okay. Well, that's what they're voting on. So we might get that, and then Drew Aller would be able to play more football. And we'll see
Which would
James.
just be a
Lord
treat.
knows. Lord knows we need him.
Yeah.
Next
Oh,
Lehigh.
football's not the same without Drew Aller.
Dude, we always have too much fun on these, and the hour 15 podcast was never in the cards. This is 2 hours.
What did this end up being?
Probably hour 55.
30. I mean,
Hour there was some good
30.
content on this pod.
What
Yeah, this was
G5
awesome.
school do you think Aller's throwing the football for next year?
Probably James Madison's new, whoever coaches new at James Madison, because he's
Terry
in
Smith's gonna go there and represent Joe Pa.
I'm gonna
Okay.
say
Iowa,
Memphis.
UVA. Dude, Drew Aller to Iowa seems
Dude,
like
that almost seems perfect.
right? Drew
Where's he
Aller to
from?
Iowa? That's like what's his name? The
He's
Michigan
from
guy.
Ohio.
And they don't even have to snip his UCL. Like
No, it's
it's already
already done.
gone.
Yeah. They don't
He's
even have to
already not a
perform the
great thrower of
surgery.
the football.
Yeah, dude. So it's like the
Even have to circumcise. It's just gone.
yeah. The McCarthy or what was not McCarthy? A McNamara. Like McNamara to Iowa, like how perfect was that? Aller to Iowa sounds perfect.
And then ETSU for the sixth
Or
year.
it would be funny if he was at BC.
Ooh. Yeah, that would be a
That
great
would move me.
dude.
Him with Bill O'Brien.
Wait,
That
can we
would
put
move me.
BC Syracuse in the pick 'em this week?
That's
The toilet
a
bowl?
stinker bowl. You know
BC,
where practically
BC
where my
smash
loyalty
spot.
resides. BC is a favorite for the first time in like 8 weeks.
Wow. Good on them.
Yeah. I don't know how they aren't after watching Syracuse versus Notre Dame. That was the worst. It was like 35-0 in the first quarter.
Wait, I got something funny to say off air if we want to do that. So,
Yeah.
All right, let's
we
call it.
good? All right, we'll call it.
All right.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.